Well, we all had church now. We can go home. Just kidding. Awesome. Praise team. Thank you. Give them a big hand. They did a great job. Great job. We all know what it's like to mess up. Do you ever wish you could go back in time and take back what you did or said? Maybe it was a harsh word you can't take back, or you hurt someone by your actions. Maybe it was a decision that cost you something very important to you. A marriage, a friendship, a job, a witness, and it wrecked your witness and reputation. Think about all the guilt we have carried with us through the life while trying to find peace and comfort in all the wrong places. We can't go back in time, but we have a Heavenly Father of second chances.
Amen.
Do you really, really believe that God wants to give everyone a second chance no matter what they've done?
Amen.
I've heard so many tell me, you don't understand where I've been, what I've done. God can never forgive me. Do you believe that there's some people too bad to save? Good. The reading today is Acts chapter 9, 1 through 19. Would you please stand for the reading? Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus. So if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house in Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. He is praying in a vision, has seen a man named Ananias come in and placing his hand on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people in Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Praise be to God. You may be seated. The Bible presents God as a God of infinite love, patience, endless chances. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnants of his inheritance? You do not stay anger forever, but delight in showing mercy. Lamentations chapter 3, 22, 23. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There are so many stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament where God has given second chances. Adam and Eve, after disobeying God in the Garden of Eden and introducing sin to the world, he forgave them. He clothed them. He didn't destroy them. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12 talks about King David committing adultery with Bathsheba, arranging the murder of her husband. God forgave David when he genuinely repented. King David remained on the throne and is remembered as a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
In Jonah chapter 1 and 3, when God told Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh, Jonah actually ran in the opposite direction. After being swallowed by a great fish, Jonah cried out to God. He was delivered up the shore and was given a second chance to complete his mission.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Matthew chapter 26, 69 through 75 talks about Peter denying Jesus three times, even after walking and being taught by Jesus for several years. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times during Jesus' trial. After his resurrection, Jesus forgave Peter, recommissioned him, empowered him to become a foundational leader of the early church. A great one of God's mercy and love is a prodigal son. I would say this son was rebellious. He wanted his father to give him his inheritance before it was due to him. His father agreed, gave him his money. He went out. He lived a wild life, spent all his money, found out he was broke. He didn't have anything to eat or where to go or to live. The son wasted everything. He realized he made a mistake and wanted to come home. And on the way home, he rehearsed his apology. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. While he was still a long ways off, the father saw him and filled him with compassion. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. His father didn't stand in the doorway with his arms crossed, saying, wait till he gets here, I'm going to tell him, I told you so. I told you not to do that, but you wouldn't listen. Father didn't do that. His father hugged him and kissed him and loved on him before he could even get his apology out.
Amen.
That is a picture of our Heavenly Father. In John chapter 8, verse 11, it talks about the lady caught in adultery. And the men in the town brought this lady to Jesus and said, Moses' law is, we're to stone her to death. What do you say? And Jesus bent down, and in the ground, he started writing. And when he looked up, he said to them, who without sin cast the first stone? And he bent down again and started writing. Then he got back up, There was no one around but the lady. And he says, who's here to condemn you? She says, no one. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go. Sin no more.
Amen.
There are so many, I don't have time to name them all. Jesus also gave many second chances at life by healing the paralyzed and the mentally ill. Second chance. A second chance isn't permission to repeat the same choice over and over again. God has given us a second chance to live a life that will honor Him and help us. We should praise God every day for a new morning and a new second chance. That is awesome news. No matter what you done yesterday, today is a new day.
Yeah.
And you can change.
Amen.
But here's the not so comfortable news. God calls us to be people of second chances too.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Amen.
We play a part in our second chance. Second chances start with God's character and our willingness to admit we have sinned.
Yeah.
First John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. My voice gives out on me sometimes since I had my thyroid removed. Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake their ways, and He will have mercy on them. Our second chance requires us to walk away from our sins or lives and live like Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. We all know the Lord's Prayer. We probably could say it without even looking at our Bibles. We know it very well. But do we know what verse 14 and 15 says? It says, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Amen.
But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. There's another parable that's really important to, it's a parable of the unmerciful servant. And that's Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I give my brother or sister who sinned against me up to seven times? Jesus replied, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before God. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart.
Amen.
That's kind of scary because we like to hold on to anger. We do. And when somebody does us wrong, it's hard for us to just say, oh, that's okay, I forgive you. That's good, that's great. Not that easy, but that's what God is calling us to do.
Amen.
Doesn't mean once you forgive them that you let them do it again to
Amen.
You. But if we want to be forgiven, when we come to God and say, Lord, I have sinned. I've done something terrible. I ask you, please forgive me. And he says, yes, I forgive you. But remember, when somebody comes to you or somebody does something wrong to you, you are supposed to say the same thing. I forgive you.
Amen.
And not, I forgive you, and I'm going to go over here to this neighbor and start talking bad about you. That is not forgiveness.
Amen.
That is just words being said. It has to be a heart thing. That I truly forgive them because God forgave me. God loves me. I'm supposed to love them enough to forgive them. You can hold anger against the sin. We're all supposed to be angry about sin. The sin in this world today is so out of control. It should infuriate us enough to want to change it, enough to want to love the other people enough to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong in love. And share God's love, forgiveness, his compassion, and let him know God has second chances. Only if you come to him and allow him. Is there someone in your life you need to give a second chance to? Maybe a family member that has been cut off due to sin, or just a different point of view in you. My sisters, one's Republican, one's Democrat, and it's a battle. It's a battle, and it's to where it gets ugly. Is that even an issue? To be mad at your brother or sister for? No, Life is too short to hold on to hate and unforgiveness.
Amen.
It hurts your relationship with God, and it hurts your health.
Amen.
I go into the prison at Chowchilla here, and I visit a lady who's on death row. But I met many other of the ladies there who are also on death row. Some of them, their families don't come visit them. Okay, you did this horrendous crime, and it is horrendous. These women all have either killed their husbands, killed their children, just killed innocent people. They deserve to serve time. But they'll never change if they don't have their families, their friends, care enough about them to say, okay, you committed a crime, this is where you're at. But God loves you, and He can give you a second chance in prison. You can be His spokesperson here.
Amen.
You can lead others to Christ if you're willing to let Him be your Lord and Savior. It will make your life in here better. But a lot of people believe in tough love. They got themselves in there. They deserve it. They embarrassed the family. They did this or they did that. So I'm not going to have anything to do with them. Some of them have been in there 20 years without a visitor. And I'm not sure that's what God has called us to do. Because He doesn't want not one of His children to be lost. Right now, God's arms are wide open. If you need a second chance, stop running from Him. Start running to Him no matter what you have done or said. God loves you so much it hurts Him to see you in pain and struggling.
Amen. Hallelujah.
As a child, I was very, very rebellious. I was a child, my parents probably couldn't wait till I got out of the house, and I couldn't wait to get out of the house. And if I was to go back today to my high school and see my friends and stuff, and I was to tell them that I was in the ministry, they would look at me. It would probably take me months of them following me to believe what I'm saying, because I was so ornery and such a bad child.
Amen.
How'd you know? No. But you know, the greatest thing that I was allowed to do is tell my parents I was sorry. You know, to let them know that I was wrong and what I was doing and what I did. And to thinking I was so grown up, I could make it on my own outside their house, like the prodigal son. But I didn't. I lived like the world lived, and it was just chaos. But when I told them I was sorry for what I'd done, they said, "Don't worry about it. We love you. We understand." And that's what our Heavenly Father does. When you come to Him and you say, okay, I messed up today. I know I yelled at that person, probably called them a bad name or two, and I know it was wrong. I'm sorry. He says, okay, you're forgiven. I understand. But the thing is, we have to truly repent. We have to truly want to live like Jesus. not like our old self. We can't think, I'm going to steal today and ask God to forgive me. I'm going to steal tomorrow and ask God to forgive me. I'm going to steal the next day and keep asking God to forgive me. And He's going to forgive me. He's not. Because it's not a true repentance. Your heart is not changed. You're looking for a way just to be saved and in good standards. But that's not it. When I was talking to my friend in prison Friday, I was there. And we were talking about some of her family. And she's trying to talk to them, and they're not with Christ right now. They're not walking that way. But when she approaches them, they tell, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. And I told Kathy, what's so sad is, we keep telling ourselves we're right, we're living right, we're not doing anything wrong. So we don't listen and we don't learn and we don't allow people to talk into our lives. They're being honest with us about something that's wrong in our lives. When you get before the Lord and you stand there and you say, Lord, I was good, I did good things, you know. I did this and I did this, and He tells you, I don't even know you. You try to work your way into heaven, but you never sat at my feet to know who I am and what I truly want from you. You missed the whole thing. I told Kathy, that's going to be sad when they stand there and they don't know. It's up to us, no matter what I say up here, what I do, you should always go to the Bible, research, read the Bible, apply the Bible. This is how you're supposed to live. Has nothing in there that says you can go out to a grocery store and steal because you think you need it, or you could go out and stab somebody because they made an ugly face at you. People don't read the Bible because the Bible is all about love, forgiveness, compassion, and kindness to all, everyone. They all deserve a second chance. Everybody in the prison that's committed murder, whatever they've done, they deserve a second chance to live in the prison, be able to change your life, to be a child of God. They deserve that second chance. Amen. And if the governor comes along and he decides they've been a model prisoner in there and done nothing wrong and wants to release them, would you be willing to accept them here in your church? Knowing they might have killed their kids, they might have killed their husband, they might have killed a store clerk, whatever. Are you willing to open up and receive them with loving arms here? Yeah. Or are you going to sit there and say, oh, they committed murder. We need to stay away from them, not talk to them, not do this, not do that. Because there is a program that's going on now out in Chowchilla. It is called Second Chance. They're trying to get churches to come together and have this meeting about accepting prisoners into their church. Now, these are going to be ones that are up to be paroled probably within 2 years. But one of them might have committed murder. Are y'all okay with that? Because this is God's house. And He does not say anywhere in His word that you have done so much, you are not welcome here. And that's how we need to feel. We need to welcome everyone who comes in here seeking the Lord. There are times that you, depends on the crime or what, you know, that you don't put them in certain positions. but they're all welcome here to hear the word. We're going to end the service. I would like you all to know, if there's anything you need to pray about, you want somebody to pray with, you can always come up to Pastor Raul, me, Janet, Lewis. We're all willing to pray with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, that you're not done with us. That when we fail, Lord, you pick us up and you comfort us. And when we're truly sorry and repent, that you're willing to forgive us and give us a second chance. Lord, I pray that you would heal our hearts. Lord, if there's anything that we need to let go of, to forgive, the Father, that you would help us know how to do that, how to approach a person. Father, we just, we need you every day in our lives. We need to be able to love like you and to forgive like you and to walk like your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.